There you go. No, it's just, I'm putting a song on. I'm going to play it for you in a little while. So it just wasn't working. So, okay, verse 36. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this time we get to spend together. And I pray, Lord, that you will teach us, you will guide us, and that we will be able to learn something today, even if it's just the seriousness of certain things in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we looked at the fact that the Apostle Paul, after some days in Antioch, said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit our brothers in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." It is we looked at the fact that God guides us in different ways. Sometimes it is prophecy, sometimes it's circumstantial, sometimes it's just a simple desire of you love someone and you want to do something for that person. And it doesn't have to be all that mystical as such. And we saw that we learn how to discern the will of God by reason of practice, of exercising ourselves in making decisions. We looked at the fact that we plan, but the Lord determines His steps. We looked at the fact that decisions don't always have to be decisions that benefit benefit us personally. We need to be able to make decisions that benefit other people, and it costs us something. We looked at the motivations. When we make certain decisions, we have to look at the motivation of our hearts. Why is it that I'm making this decision? And we saw that sometimes it can be fear. Sometimes it can be just love of the world. Sometimes it can be money. Sometimes it can just be it can be all kinds of stuff. And it's important for us to see the motivation. Having said that, with motivation, sometimes we don't know the motivation of our own heart. Circumstances dictate the motivation of our hearts. When I do something and things don't turn out the way I thought they should turn, next thing you know, I realize, I'm here because of this, because of this particular thing. We looked at using the name of the Lord in vain. That is not necessarily, of course it is. You can cuss and you can say GD and that's using the name of the Lord in vain. But whenever we say the Lord is leading me to do this thing, a lot of times people use it as a cloak because they just don't want any advice whatsoever. And in assisting others, we must encourage, and we must encourage people to make decisions. And I was left make their own decision. I was left last week a bit short in as we were teaching. And I thought, man, what should I do? Should I just keep going and forget anything else? And I felt like it would be good to revisit a little bit or to continue, rather, the study from last week. Paul said, let's go over to see how our brothers are doing, the people that he had just planted those churches and wanted to see how they were doing in the faith. You know, we make tons of decisions each day. I mean, from what we're going to eat to when we're going to wake up to when we're going to go to bed to what we're going to do that day, how we're going to plan our day, where we're going to travel, all kinds of decisions that we make each day. And you know what? Decisions that we make are going to, some of the decisions that we make are going to impact our life for the rest of our life. Not everything. I mean, some people, what they choose to eat kills them. What they choose to drink kills them. And they're big decisions. But who you're going to marry, whether you're going to walk with the Lord or not, where you're going to work, whether you're going to go to church, whether you're going to read your Bible, decisions like that are crucial in life. And they are life and death moments at times in our life. And life is short. You only get one life to live. And it is so important that with that life that we get, that we learn to make wise decisions. All of us, in the shortness of our life, are going to leave a legacy behind. It's like a picture. Your life is a picture, and you're going to leave that behind once you leave. And the question that I have is, what kind of legacy is your life going to leave behind? The reality is, there's a last time for everything in life. You know, my mom is here today. So nice. But the reality is that there will be one day where I will kiss my mom for the last time. I don't mean to be... It's just reality. The reality is that one day it'll be the last time that I speak to Loretta. There will be one time that will be the last time that I go to bed. There will be one time that will be the last time that I speak in this pulpit. The last time of everything is coming for all of us. We have a short life. And the thing is that it is a very serious things. Decisions that we make in life are very important in the short life that we have. I often say to Loretta whenever we argue, and in case you wonder, we do argue. And we argue sometimes very, very intensely. I mean, one time I argued so much we were arguing so intensely, Loretta and I, that my mom that was here at the time looked at us and said, "You call yourselves Christians?" But I often say to Loretta, or used to say to Loretta much more often, is, do we say something to one another that if we did not wake up the next morning, we would regret that we had said, or if the other didn't wake up the next morning? You know, just think, oh man, I shouldn't have said that. It's just a waking moment. And in talking like that, I was talking to Anwar, and I think it was Anwar and Spencer. We were at the coffee shop reading the Bible together, and all of a sudden Anwar says, he says, "This is very real to me, because I remember going to my house and seeing the police and the ambulances outside, and I told my best friend," or my friend that was with me, he said, "if it was my sister that was dead, I wouldn't care." Because he was so angry with his sister. And the reality is that he went there and it was his sister that had died. And no one knows the reason why she died. She was on the phone and she just collapsed and passed away in that moment. Decisions that we make are impacting in our life. Very impacting. And it's so amazing to me how the lives in the Bibles are encapsulated in one brief sentence. If you looked at 2 Timothy, for example, and you looked at verse 115, it says, "Phygelus and Hermogenes turned away from me." It's just amazing. And you ever wonder, it's like, oh, I wish I could have made it in the Bible. My name would be in the Bible. Well, sometimes it's quite a serious thing to want your name in the Bible, because you might have a mention in a moment of something that's going to be recorded for all of history. You might be mentioned, but you might be mentioned in a very bad light. And here, these guys make it into the book. They made it into sort of the Olympics. They get to be mentioned. But they get mentioned for a bad thing. They have forsaken me. And it's to forsake Paul. They've turned away from me. To turn away from Paul was a conscious decision that they made in their hearts, which defined their life for the rest of their life. There's 2:17. Hymenaeus and Philetus, their message will spread like cancer. Isn't that crazy? How would you like to be remembered by your legacy that your message or the message that comes out of your mouth spreads like cancer. I mean, it's just horrible. 4:10 of 1 Timothy says, Demas has forsaken me. 4:14, Alexander the metal worker did me much harm. The legacy of these people, all in a negative light. And the reality is that Alexander had a choice to speak well or badly about Paul, but he chose to speak badly about Paul. And he was remembered, or to do him harm, to hurt him. Demas made a decision to forsake Paul, and that just stayed with him. Everyone leaves a legacy when they leave earth. Everyone leaves a legacy when they leave a room. I remember, man, we had a girl here on staff. It was amazing. She could be in a room and she could light up the whole room with her smile. And if she was in a bad mood, she could sink us into the deepest black hole of the universe. And when she left the room, she left. It was just a drastic contrast of when she left her room, what a legacy she could leave behind. You know, it's amazing the legacies that we can leave behind by bad actions or by good actions. Look in the first, 1 Timothy 5:1. Lois and Eunice, your mother and your grandmother, how they instructed you in the faith. What a legacy to leave behind, that you have parents, or that you are a parent that is actually investing in your children, that you're spending time with them, that you're educating them. What an incredible legacy to leave behind, to be remembered as someone who just, the other people are able to say, man, your mom and your grandmother, they were just amazing in your life. Look at Onesiphorus in 1:16. He often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. And when he came to Rome, he sought me zealously. What a legacy to be remembered by. That when he goes to Rome, Paul is in prison. And he says, Paul is able to say about him, whenever I was with Paul, I was just refreshed. Eric reminds me of that. Remember Eric? Because Monica's dad said, Eric's like a cup of fresh water. And it's true. You know, there's some people, you're around them. And Eric just, he was a guy that he had his own struggles. But it's almost like he made a conscious decision that when he was around people, he was going to bless them. And he was with Johnny. He was with us. And you could, he would go up to Loretta, LB. You know, and he was just, but it was just always a joy to be around. And there's people who just refresh your soul. What a legacy to leave behind. What a legacy to leave behind that when you're in a difficult circumstance, the Apostle Paul is said, you know, let's say you go to a city and you know that somebody's having a hard time. And when you get to that city, you're going on a holiday, you're going to go check out the city, but you say, oh no, man, they're having problems. I'm not going to go visit them. I got too much to do. Well, this guy was not like that. This guy says, I'm in Rome. Paul's here. He's going through a hard time. And I can just see me doing, do you know where the prison is? Oh, no, I don't know. Well, I tried. I tried. And it says, you know, it doesn't say that about this guy. This guy, it says that he sought Paul zealously. He wasn't going to give up. Just like when you lose something in the house. You ever lose stuff in the house? My pens, man, is just the one thing that always goes lost. Or the keys. My most famous phrase in my house, sadly enough, is, Loretta, have you seen? I'm always looking for stuff, you know. Have you seen? And then you with so much energy look for it. And this guy was like that. He looked for the Apostle Paul because he loved the Apostle Paul. What a legacy to leave behind. Fresh water, love, seeking someone earnestly. 4:11 says, only Luke is with me. Everybody else had left the Apostle Paul in prison to rot in a sense. But Luke's life speaks of fidelity, loyalty, integrity, humility. What great things to be remembered by. You know what? The reality is, doing what I do, sometimes I'm scared to death. Because sometimes we think that we're going to be remembered by our sermons. And we're not going to be remembered by our sermons. We're going to be remembered by our life. The acts of kindness that you had towards one another. The little notes, the little details in life, the little concerns for one another. And it's that life that we live before people that is a letter to be read by all people. And that is the legacy that we're going to leave behind. Someone once said, your life speaks so loud that I cannot hear what you're saying. What does our life speak? Eloquence will be forgotten. Gentleness, love, peace. In the midst of drama, kindness, honesty, integrity, joy, genuine concern, that will not be forgotten. And I can tell you, that girl that we ate with in St. Mathis in St. John de Zygo, when she looked at me and she says, my visa has run out and I want to do things right. I'm going to go home until the Lord opens another door. I tell you, that will never leave me. Louise Cathcart, when in her deathbed, she says, the Lord has blessed us materially throughout the years, but in this bed, all that matters is to know the love of God. That will never leave me. Legacies that people leave behind. And I would like to give you a challenge today. And it is to determine to live so as to be missed. Determined to live so as to be missed. Don't live in such a way that when you leave, everyone says, whew, so glad they left. But determined to live in such a way that your life has been lived in such a way that when you leave, people say, man, we're the worst by them leaving. We are the worst by them leaving. We have one life and we need to seize the opportunity to make the most out of every opportunity. And you know what? The Bible, I love the Bible because it warns me. It instructs me. And the Bible is full of bad decisions that people made. And the Bible is full of good decisions that people made. And the nice thing about, the benefit for me about the Bible is I get to see the end of their lives. You know, like sometimes, let's say Jimmy's making a decision. He's making the worst decision of his life to leave here. And to go to New York. You know, in many ways, I see completely that it is the right decision to make. But if I told you I'm sure, I would lie to you. I'm not sure. Time will tell, right? I mean, one day we will look upon our lives backwards and we will be able to see by the benefit of hindsight that the decisions that were made were good or bad. In the Bible, we have the privilege of seeing the beginning and the end of our life and seeing the decisions that they were made, whether they were good or not good. And I'm able to learn from those. Because really, when we look ahead, it is difficult to make certain decisions. So I thought we would look at three things. Bad decisions, good decisions, and the people that made them, and then redeemed decisions. Bad decisions that people made, but the Lord was able to turn them over for good in time. Right? I think. Bad decisions.
Lot, number one.
Genesis 13. You can write it down to read it later. He made a greedy decision. You have Abraham and Lot's servants who are fighting with one another. And he says, and Abraham gets to the point where he makes the decision and he says, look, it's not right that our people fight with one another. And he says to Lot, look at the land and you choose. And you got to think, Lot is young, strong. Abraham is older, someone to be respected, not with as much energy. And Lot, it says, he looked at the land that was full of fruit and full, it was lush. And he looked at the dry land and he said, Abraham, I'll go there. And he made a decision with the mere eyes rather than a decision that was based on where the Lord was leading him. Even if it was one of considering his, even if it was of saying, oh man, Abraham, man, he's a bit older, he's a bit weaker. I'm just going to give him the simpler job, the simpler territory. And you see how, I mean, can you imagine your whole life defined by making a decision that was worldly and greedy? You have Ahab and Jezebel. You know, Jezebel is always, I mean, there's even songs that define Jezebel as a bad woman. You know, that even in secular songs, that woman Jezebel, you know, Jezebel, never name your kid Jezebel. You know, it's just like it doesn't have a good thing behind it. But I'm struck by Jezebel and Ahab because Naboth had a plot of land. And Ahab said to Naboth, Naboth, could I have your could I buy your land off of you? And Naboth said, no way, man, that belongs to my family. It's been with us for years and years and years. And no, I'm sticking with my piece of land. And Ahab was upset. He went home and he was sulking. Never make decisions when you're sulking. He was sulking. Oh, I can't believe that I don't have that. And Jezebel says, Why are you sulking? Why is your spirit so sad? And he said, Because I asked Naboth if I could have his piece of land and he won't give it to me. He won't sell it to me. And then he says, she says, oh, don't worry about it. You be still. I'll take care of it. Ooh. What a decision for the wife to be protective of the husband and all of a sudden to make a decision to get what the husband wants for him when he's sulking, when in reality it was not right for him to have that. And Jezebel says, okay, invite him over for a fast and a time of worship and stuff. And then they put him along the prominent people. And all of a sudden it says that they got scoundrels to testify against them. And two of them get up and he says, hey, we heard him disobeying and blaspheming the king and God. And Jezebel had told them, accuse him and then kill him. And they killed Naboth. And Jezebel comes home and she thinks she's made the best decision in the world. And she goes home and she says, Ahab, go ahead, go take the land. It's yours. In the immediate, it looks like a great decision, doesn't it? In the immediate, it worked. In the immediate, she got what she wanted. Until you see the end of her life where she falls out of a window and you see her dying. And then you see the dogs licking her blood. And you see the end of a life of bad decisions. And I want to encourage all of us, man, the Bible is full of people who had made bad decisions. Please, guys, your whole future will be defined by the decisions that you make. I cannot tell you, man, when you get married, who you marry. Listen to people around you. Listen to friends that really love you. Because the reality is, you might be making the worst decision of your life, and you're about to enter into hell, and people are trying to warn you. When you choose career jobs, sometimes you might have a particular temptation with certain things, and you might make a decision to move into a particular place that it will be harmful to you, or a place that will be beneficial to you. You're going to have to make a decision about who is your friend. You remember that saying? Show me who your friends are and I'll tell you who you are. You will have to make a decision about who you hang out with, how they influence you. And it's really difficult sometimes to leave certain relationships behind that are harmful to us. But the reality is, leaving some friends behind and grabbing hold of other friends that are beneficial, not to you, but to your life, might be some of the best decisions that you ever make in your life. Surrounding yourself with people that say what you want to hear will be the worst decision that you can make in your life. There's a verse that says, better are the wounds of a friend than the kisses of an enemy. And you have a life. You know, I've been pastoring this church for 10 years. I cannot tell you the amount of people that I sit with in that office or in a coffee shop, and I just hear about bad decision after bad decision that they've made, and they're in the middle of chaos and they don't know how to get out of it. So be careful with the decisions that you made. They will define your life, but they will also affect your life. Today, I sit here having made one decision. That is the best, you know, if I won the lottery, millions today, or if I was able to get millions, the best decision I ever made was to follow Jesus, not anything that would give me the money. Honestly, take everything away from me, leave me with Jesus. The best decision that I ever made, ever, was to follow Jesus. And then after that, not only to follow Jesus, but then to follow Him in practice. Like Bob Caldwell said, it's one thing if we say we're followers of Jesus, but we never change, we're hypocrites. But then, you know, I watch people reading their Bibles, and I remember thinking to myself, I never read a book, and I remember them reading, they would go to the cemetery or to the bleachers, and they just go read their Bibles, and I just, with a notepad and a pen, and they would write things, and I'm just like, you ever get curious about what's going on in some, you ever see someone looking up, and you just kind of look, and it's like, what are they seeing? And some people actually look up just so you, they're not looking at anything, they just want you to look up. You know, and you're trying to see what they're seeing. They're not seeing anything. But you're trying. But then other times you see people looking at things and you just kind of go, whoa. And, that's what they're seeing. And I remember just being like that with Christians. It's like, what are they looking at? So rather than asking them, what I did is I grabbed the Bible and I went to the balcony. It was like, and man, I began to see my life changing. I began to see advice coming into my life that I just thought, man, this is rocking my world. This is amazing. No one had to tell me to believe it. I was just like, oh, wow, this is Jesus with all wisdom. I believe this stuff. This is amazing. And I began to see my life being changed. So this decision I made was to actually go to look where other people were looking in the scriptures. Marriage. I'd been in several relationships before I became a Christian, and they were disastrous. I had lost all hope. I never thought a relationship could work. I really thought there's no way. As a matter of fact, it was the biggest disappointment of my life when I went to ask a pastor if I could marry his daughter, and he said to me, just no. And I went back to London, and I was just so bummed out by the whole thing. I was so sad. And next thing you know, I had been working with Loretta the whole time. The whole time I'd been working with Loretta while I was with this other girl. And next thing you know, I came home to work at Pizza Hut, and it was just like a flower opened. I've never seen this flower before. You know, and I just thought, this is amazing. And we hung out for Christmas and New Year's. And next thing you know, she was headstrong. You know, she wasn't a Christian. And next thing you know, I got to share with her. And one day it was just me and her. We prayed together. And she said, Lord Jesus, I need your help. I want you to help me. Come into my heart. It was no church. It was no religious thing. It was just her and me and the Lord Jesus. And man, that day I remember Loretta changing. And I remember having the dream of my life in this sense. I was going to marry someone who loved Jesus. After all, Jesus was the most important person in my life. I wanted to spend the rest of my life being able to talk about that person, to share that with her. And man, she thought she wasn't a Christian. She kept saying, I'm not a Christian. I'm not a Christian. I'm just doing it for you. And I was like, oh no, I could tell she was a Christian. And a little bit later, we got married. We were both afraid. We had times where Loretta was really scared to get married. Other times I was scared. When I was scared, she was confident. I remember I said, I'm just not sure if I'm to marry you. And she looks at me and she's like, well, I know God hasn't called me to be single. And if you're not the one, God will bring somebody else. And I was like, whoa, I don't want anybody else to have her. I want her. And Dave Shirley came over and married us. And it's wonderful to be married for Loretta, but if I told you it was easy, I would lie. It's been tough. But to marry Loretta and to yield to the Lord in our relationship has been the best decisions we've ever made. I made bad decisions in my life. But man, I thank God for the grace of God that has allowed me to make good decisions. And I want to encourage you, your whole future is in many ways in your hands. I know it's in the Lord's hands. But the Lord is going to put choices before you that you can make or ignore. And the devil is going to take choice away from you. He's going to say, if you leave this thing, you're not going to have anything. And he will cause you to make bad decisions. And I can tell you, you know how they hunt monkeys? You ever heard of how they hunt monkeys? They put a cage and they put a coconut. They put a hole in it, and then they put stuff that the monkeys like to eat inside of the coconut. So the hole is big enough so the hand can go in and grab the stuff. But whenever they grab the stuff, the hand is too big to come out. So then the hunters, they just go get the monkeys. You know what the monkey does? The monkey goes and tries to climb trees. And the monkey is just too obsessed with the stuff to set his hands free to run away. And sometimes we will not let go of stuff that God is asking us to let go of because he wants us to make good decisions. Let me tell you about some good decisions. Ruth. Ruth made a choice to follow her mother-in-law. Who wants to follow their mother-in-law? Actually, I have a really good one. Right, Lord? I got to be careful. No, but we both have great relationships with our in-laws. But, you know, in many ways, we always have the picture of we don't follow mother-in-law anyway. Well, you know what? She knew Noemi was a Christian. She was a struggling Christian. She was bitter. She was hurt. But she said, you know what? This woman's done good to me, and I'm just going to stick by her. And she said, but you know what? You're not going to get married. And what am I going to have a child and you're going to wait for him to grow up? And Ruth said, I'm going to give my prospect marriage away. That it wasn't even a reality yet, but it was there to trust the Lord. And he says, it says that Ruth clung to her. And then it says, where you go, I will go. And your people will be my people. And your God will be my God. And she made a conscious decision to stick, to do what was good. I mean, it wasn't, the Orpah didn't make a bad decision. She just didn't make the best decision. And she made a choice to stick with her mother-in-law. And man, you see how God just blessed her. You know, she wanted to provide for her mother-in-law. She, as soon as they got to Israel, as soon as they got to the promised land, there she began to work and provide for her mother-in-law. And it was a costly decision, but it was a good decision. And God blessed that decision in her life. Nicodemus, oh man, that's another good decision. I mean, the guy's a religious guy. He's a teacher. He teaches everybody. But all of a sudden he gets met with Jesus and he realizes, oh boy, he's a different category, Jesus. And instead of saying, I don't agree with him, I don't like this guy, by night, it says that he went over to Jesus and he says, hey, Jesus, I know that you're a teacher sent from God. And he's like, what's going on with the kingdom of God? And he inquired. He was inquisitive. I sometimes get afraid of people that come to church here and they listen and then they walk out and they never ask a question, although they have many questions. I would love to sit down. Not that I'm Jesus, but you know what I mean? But I would love to sit down. If you have questions, or Jimmy would love to sit down. If you have genuine questions within you, we have all the time in the world to sit down and answer questions. And Nicodemus made a bold decision to say, you know what? I don't understand these things, but I'm going to go ask someone who knows. Oh, Joseph with his wife, or with his fiance. What a great decision he made. Remember, Mary came home one day and she says, hey, Joseph, I'm pregnant, but it's not what you think. It was an angel, or it was the Holy Spirit. An angel told me, and it was the Holy Spirit that made me pregnant. It was a miracle. What would you do? Well, in that culture, what they used to do is they would make a public spectacle of her. You know, you read Loretta sometimes in tears is reading particular magazines or things of that's going on in the Middle East, and in tears she'll say to me, they're about to stone this girl that was caught in adultery in Iran. And you never see the guy being stoned, you just see the girl being stoned. And you think, like, where in the world is justice? And it's almost like, how can these men say they love that woman? They just expose her and then get her over to capital punishment. Well, it says that Joseph, being a righteous man, a just man, it says that he put her away secretly. He sort of said, well, you know, I just don't believe this thing, but you know what? Go ahead. You go quietly. I'm not going to say anything about this. Just go your way. He was protective of her. What a great decision he made. Can you imagine if he would have just said, you're out of here. You're a dirty girl. You're done. I'm done with you. Oh, sorry, you're a guy. But can you imagine if he would have been like that, and then the angel comes to him and says it was true and he didn't trust her? Can you imagine how that would have harmed the relationship? He was a just man and made a good decision. And we could go on. Paul writing the letter to the Corinthians. What an incredible... Have you ever written a letter and just, you know, or something to someone that they're in a bad situation and you think, oh, I got to talk to them. And you're like, no, but I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to correct. I don't want to say. And then you say, okay. And have you ever written a letter? Oh, you shouldn't have done this. And then afterwards you go, oh, I shouldn't have written that. Well, that's the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 8, it says that Paul says, and I'm sorry that the letter that it cost you harm, and I really didn't want to write that letter, but now I'm glad that I wrote that letter. And you can see that he made a decision, a conscious decision, to say something about a particular circumstance in somebody's life. And you can see the Bible, Esther. I mean, Esther with she wasn't going to do anything about the circumstance that Israel found itself in. And then Mordecai says to her, you know what? If you don't do anything, that's okay. Salvation has come for such a salvation will come from another way. But who knows if you were in this place and in this time for such a time as this? And she had to make a decision to actually go to the king and say, King, this is not right what's going on. Man, life is full of decisions, and the decisions you make will define your life. Now, in closing, I don't know if you feel bad because, you know, we've all made bad decisions, haven't we, in life? But that's the beauty of the gospel. Today, like Andrew reminded us today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. You know, and I know sometimes you guys sit here, and some of you guys don't like my personality. That's okay. I'm not pleading for me. I'm pleading for Jesus. And I know that sometimes you're sitting there, and I might say something wrong. And you say, see, I don't like this guy. And that's fine. Don't like me. But I can sense sometimes the hearts, they melt a little bit, and then they get hard again. And then there's a moment of tenderness, and then there's a hardness again. And I would ask you today, and I would plead with you in the name of Jesus, if you hear his voice today, do not harden your hearts. He's willing to forgive and bury the past, the present, and the future. But for God's sake, don't ruin your life by the decisions that you make. And I hope that today would be a pivotal point in your life where you make a decision today that from now on you will make decisions not on the basis of emotion. You will make decisions on the basis of biblical teaching, of godly counsel, and the multitude of counselors, there is safety, of peace, the peace of God ruling your heart. And that you will be able to look upon your life from this day forward, one day from the future actually, look back upon this day and say, that was the day that I began to take life seriously. And I began to realize that every choice that I make has consequences. And I hope that you're able to look at it and say, man, God has been so good. And I've listened to him. And I'm so glad I've listened to him. Rather than looking back like I've seen this many people. Rather than looking back and saying, oh man, I shouldn't have done that, and I shouldn't have done that, and I shouldn't have done that. And you're at the end of your life, and it's just, you're just completely wasted. So I want to ask you, please, make a conscious decision to make godly decisions. It might be costly. I had to leave friends behind, man. I remember I went to Germany and I went to my old friends, and I went and I drank. I love Radler, you know, and I went to the Bergkirchweih, and I think it's what it's called in Erlangen. And there I was with one of these small beers that they have in Germany, you know, it was a Radler. Next thing you know, I feel that stuff, you know, and I've been a Christian maybe a couple months, and I'm just, and my friend comes up and he says, hey, Raph, you're a Christian now, you're going to start your own cult, aren't you? And then I could sense the pull towards the old girlfriends and the drugs and the drinking and stuff. And I remember thinking to myself, I don't want to go back. I want to move forward. Jesus has promised abundant life. And you know what? At the time, it's very scary to make those choices. But man, I've met people like you guys. Some of you are acquaintances, but some of you are my closest friends. I've got friends all over the world of people who know and love the Lord Jesus that have been a good influence in my life. I know non-Christians, don't get me wrong. It's not about not having non-Christian friends. It's about who influences my life. Because at the end of the day, people are either sinking you or they're assisting you. And it might be costly decisions, but it'll be worth the decisions will be worth it if you make godly decisions of leaving friends behind or things behind, things that tie you up. May your life changed today. Want to lead us in worship?